One way of converting biomass to biofuel takes advantage of microbes that naturally break down starches and cellulose. The waste product, typically ethanol, is then burned in vehicles as an alternative to gasoline. But suppose instead of converting the biomass into ethanol, it was burned directly to power generators for electricity, which, in turn, was used in electric vehicles. In a paper published online by Science, Elliot Campbell and colleagues report that greater amounts of transportation energy for passenger vehicles could be had from this kind of bioelectricity than from ethanol, and that there are significant savings to be had in greenhouse gas emissions, too. I spoke with Campbell from his office at the University of California, Merced.
What we found is that if you burn this biomass to make electricity to power electric vehicles, you can get a lot more transportation and a lot more greenhouse gas offsets than if you converted it into ethanol.
What are you comparing in terms of ethanol? There's corn-based ethanol, switchgrass-based ethanol, or so-called cellulosic ethanol. Which is your team looking at?
We looked at a range of different types of ethanol conversion processes. So we considered the case where you convert corn starch into ethanol, or where you convert biomass crops such as switchgrass into ethanol. And in both cases, the results seem to favor the electricity pathway over these liquid fuels pathways.
Isn't the burning of biomass today to make electricity used in making ethanol from corn and switchgrass? And if so, does that change the efficiency equations?
It's true that we do make some electricity when we convert biomass into ethanol. However, the vast majority of the energy content in the plant becomes ethanol and not electricity. However, in our study, we did include this assumption that there's some electricity produced for these second generation ethanol processes. And despite that, the overall conversion of all the plant matter to electricity still came out as a better energy pathway.
Is there an underlying model that you and your team used in making these calculations for efficiency and energy production?
Yes, we based a lot of our analysis on data from the GREET model that Argonne Laboratories put out and the EBAM model that the ERG group at UC Berkeley has put out. Both of these models have been used extensively to analyze transportation and energy pathways. We really just leveraged these models in a new way with some additional information to consider a comparison of the land use efficiency of these different energy pathways. So what our papers and some other papers too have been arguing is that the prime agriculture lands aren't going to be a good resource for development of bioenergy resources for multiple reasons, including those land use effects. What a more sustainable domain for biofuels would be is to use some more marginal agriculture lands or even abandoned agriculture lands. And in that case, the land use effects aren't an issue. And then these models like GREET and EBAM are actually a really valid way to consider how beneficial those lands might be in terms of greenhouse gas offsets.
Now, you said earlier that you were talking about second generation ethanol production. That, I presume, also would take into account increased efficiency in making ethanol from switchgrass by finding or engineering the right microbe to digest the cellulose?
Yeah, second generation ethanol definitely requires some technology advancements to really prove this technology at a commercial scale. We considered this pathway in our study to try and get the utmost efficiency of what ethanol might achieve in the future. And the main reason you see a big energy efficiency benefit to the second generation ethanol is because the process energy that's needed to convert the biomass into ethanol is supplied by biomass instead of supplied by natural gas and coal.
Is there an efficiency at which ethanol from switchgrass overtakes the efficiency of burning the biomass to make electricity?
We were surprised to find there wasn't a point at which the second generation ethanol pathways looked better, even when we were really considering an ideal scenario.
And by ideal, you obviously don't mean 100% efficiency. At what level did you sort of cut off and say, well, ethanol from biomass just isn't going to get any better than this? What is the this?
So for the second generation ethanol, we considered about 41% of the energy content of the biomass is converted into the energy content of the ethanol. We didn't look at a range of higher conversion efficiencies because these are really close to the higher end of what might be expected. But as you suggest, if there were some advancements that allowed you to get even more of that biomass energy content into the ethanol, then absolutely that would be possible for an ethanol pathway to look better than an electricity pathway. Overall, what we're trying to consider in this study is a range of technologies that are deployed now or might be deployed in the near future. A major advancement in either of these pathways could change the results and make things look quite a bit different.
And so just in terms of numbers then, what kind of percentages are we looking at in terms of the efficiency differences between biomass into electricity versus biomass into ethanol?
Well, the main result here is a land use efficiency. So the land use efficiency basically tells you how much transportation you could achieve per acre of cropland that's being used to produce the biomass. And when you're comparing ethanol and bioelectricity, you're going to see that the improvement for the electricity pathway is about 80% more transportation than the ethanol pathway. For greenhouse gas offsets, you're going to see about 108% more greenhouse gas offsets per area of cropland than with the ethanol pathway. And these are the results across a range of different assumptions for the types of vehicles, driving styles, and energy conversion technologies.
And why in particular the greenhouse gas emission percentage change? I mean, it all gets burned in the end, whether it's converted to ethanol first or just burned to make electricity.
The greenhouse gas offset is achieved because instead of using a fossil fuel to power our vehicles, we're using a bioenergy resource, which in some ways can be thought of as a greenhouse gas neutral energy source. In the case of electricity, you're achieving more transportation, you're achieving more miles, so you're able to offset the use of more of the fossil fuel or gasoline type of transportation. And that's why there's a greenhouse gas offset benefit to bioelectricity over ethanol.
Because the electric engines are more efficient than the gas-powered ones?
That's what's probably driving the results, but there's a lot of other steps in the energy pathway that we took into consideration as well. Certainly, the efficiency of an electric motor over a typical internal combustion engine vehicle motor is a big reason for the benefits of the bioelectricity pathway.
But in the end, though, aren't we really comparing two different things, electricity and liquid fuel? Or is the idea that they both should be thought of as energy and so considered the same?
Well, if your criteria is how much transportation we can achieve, then they're both the same thing. And right now, it's unclear as to what our transportation future might hold. A lot of people are beginning to think that our transportation future will include a shift to electric vehicles. If we're going to anticipate that shift and think holistically about the best way to build up our bioenergy resources infrastructure, then we might want to start thinking about bioelectricity as a viable energy pathway.
Elliot Campbell, thank you very much.
All right. Well, thank you so much. I appreciated talking with you.
Elliot Campbell of the University of California, Merced, is lead author of a paper comparing bioelectricity with ethanol. Find the paper online at www.scienceexpress.org.